Well, you know, God's been saying some real specific things to us as a group of people. To us corporately, to us individually, God has been very direct. He is telling us where we are, and through telling us where we are as a people, as individuals, He's also telling us what is needed, what his direction is for where we are in the Spirit of God. And one of our overseers, Moses Bay, came in a couple of weeks ago, and he delivered a word from the Lord to us out of 1 Samuel chapter 30 that had three primary aspects to the word. And those three primary aspects are up there on the overhead this morning. And those three aspects were pursue. Everybody say pursue.
Pursue.
They were overtake.
Overtake.
Recover it all.
All
right, in those three aspects, you see that one of those is a direction to us. One of those requires us to take some action. Jesus is a reciprocal God. He'll say, knock and the door shall be opened. Call unto me and I will answer you. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. He's a reciprocal God. And God's direction to us lately has been to pursue. That is a choice that we're going to have to make to believe and to act according to God's direction. And God said that if we will pursue, and you say, well, Pastor, what do you mean to pursue? I believe that what God is saying to us is there are inheritances laid up for the body of Christ. Some of them have been laid up for many, many, many years. Some of them have been laid up in response to people of God who have prayed down throughout the history, and even in recent years have prayed and asked God things according to His will, and God has been is going to dispense those things. But some situations and circumstances occurred in the midst of that that didn't catch God off guard, because He knows all things, but that played into His will in some mysterious fashion, but they looked like they had actually stopped what God had wanted to do. It looked like it had short-circuited His desire and His will for the hour. But it's not short-circuited. It's not like those things vanished into thin air that people had been believing for. Those things have been stored up for a season and a time for God's people. God is not allowing the enemy to come in and steal those things and move off with them. God has His eye on those things. He is still looking at them, and it is still within His will that His people will possess them as part of their inheritance in the greater inheritance of God. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 2, speaking of God speaking to Jesus, He says, I have given you the nations as your inheritance. And the way Jesus receives His inheritance is when we go out and believe His word and pursue and take it back, and then are able to present it into the kingdom of God by His power and for His glory. And so those things are being stored up. They've not been just vanished into thin air. And God is saying, now is the time for the dispensation. I don't even know if that's a word. But now, do you know if that's a word? Now is the time for them to be given away. Hallelujah. Now is the time that God has ordained to open the vault and to release these inheritances to pursuers. Not to sitters, not to quitters, not to whiners, not to complainers, but to pursuers. Everybody say pursuers.
Pursuers.
All right. To pursuers. Now the interesting thing about it is God's word to David that spoke of pursuing came to him in his darkest hour, in his most inopportune time, in the time that it seemed was the most disadvantageous to him being able to gather his strength and obey God. The word of God for him to pursue came in the midst of the ashes of Ziklag. David's men, for the very first time that I can read in the scriptures, that all the time they had been following him, finally were ready to give up on following him. They finally were at the place. They said, David, you've led us to ashes. We're in the country of the Philistines now, and now that's all burned down. It's gone from bad to worse progressively as time has gone along. And now we've even lost our progeny. Now our future There's a lot of people that feel like their future's been stolen. Now our future's been taken away from us. And they sat there, mighty men that had been through wars and that bore scars. They sat there and they cried till they had no more strength left to weep. And they even spoke of stoning David. David didn't get up and call them ungrateful. David didn't get up and rebuke them. David got up and found his strength in the Lord his God. He did something that is so unnatural to the flesh. He rose up and he got off of his ashes, as Moses said. He didn't just sit on his ashes. He got up off of his ashes. He got in a position to hear from God and began to call out on the name of God. And David knew nothing but warfare. David knew two things in his life, really. He was a shepherd and a warrior. A shepherd and a warrior. What makings for a leader in the kingdom of God? That's what it takes to be a leader in the kingdom of God. To have the heart of a shepherd and the heart of a warrior. And so David didn't know how to respond any other way than who he was. And he responded to God out of the warrior attitude. He said, "Do you want me to pursue? Shall I pursue?" Or is there another word for the owl? And God looked at David sitting in the midst of that situation, and I know his heart swelled inside of him. He said, "Right response. Right response." And God looked at David and he said, "Pursue." Everybody say, "Pursue." And then, because David said, "I will pursue," God gave him two promises if David would act upon the direction from God. He said, "If you pursue, you will overtake." Everybody say, "Overtake." I don't care how long of a head start your enemy has. I don't care how long ago the theft that the enemy did in your life happened to you. I don't care if he has a 2 or 3 or a 10 or a 15-year head start. I don't care if it's way off in the distance somewhere from you. I don't care if you're in a wheelchair chasing. I don't care if you're riding mitts chasing. I don't care if you're using a bus pass to chase. I don't care if you've got a car or you're on foot. The word of the Lord said, if you will pursue, you will overtake. You will. I will anoint you with the same power that came on Elijah. And you'll tuck your cloak in your belt, your cloak, and you will run and you'll outrun chariots and you'll outrun horses. Hallelujah. And then the Lord added a word that I think blew David's mind, because I really don't think David completely grasped the fact that there was any way possible that recovering at all could really be had. I think maybe he thought there's a partial recovery I'll be able to get, but not a full recovery. Because when the enemy takes things off, he begins to destroy things and dispense with things. But God said, no. God said, "I spoke a word to you as my son years ago. I spoke a word to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They prayed to me and they asked me, and I have stored up inheritances for them." And he said, the enemy may have come in and may have felt like he had stopped up the wells that Abraham dug. But he said, "I'm telling you, I have supernaturally preserved everything that belongs to my people. I have supernaturally preserved it." And so he told David, he said, "If you will pursue, you will overtake." And he said, "You will recover it," what? "All." Don't you think David stood there for a minute and said, "All? Is that possible? All?" And God said, "All. All." And David and his men were tired and emotionally and physically. And some of you are tired because the war has been long and the marches have been strenuous. But God is saying, pursue, you will overtake, and you will recover it all. And that is the direction for the hour to us, to you. Okay? So wherever you are today, you know what your direction is. You don't have to ask God, "What am I supposed to do?" Okay? You know what you're supposed to do. We all have feelings. God is a feeling God. He created us with feelings. But we don't respond according to feelings. They're not our enemies. But we respond according to the direction that we get from the Lord and according to who He is. That is how we respond. And the last couple of days in my own personal devotion time, the Lord's been showing me some things through my devotions that I have been reading that are a word for us today for the next few weeks, and I want to share those with you. Did you know that if you're pursuing, you have fellow pursuers on the chase with you? Many of them are in this room. Some of them are not here today. But look around you. All of these people are pursuing along with you. But there are other fellow pursuers that I want to talk to you about today that you may not have thought about. And the Lord listed those in Mark chapter 16. And so we are going to read that today. So Mark 16 verse 15 is where we're going to start. Mark 16, 15. I've got to get there myself. If I was not in Matthew, that would probably help. I'm going to get over to Mark. Mark 16. All right, almost there. All right, Mark 16, 15. Now this is the general's final instructions to his soldiers before he leaves and goes and sits on his throne of authority. The final instructions that any general gives his troops are very important instructions. All of them are important. But man, if you could say one final thing to your troops before you went into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father, what would it be? You know it would be important. And so the Lord speaks to his disciples in Mark 16, 15, and he says this. He says, "And Jesus said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.'" And then he says in verse 17, he says, "And these signs will what? Will follow. These signs will run with those who believe. These signs shall be fellow pursuers with those that are obeying the word of God and going after the inheritance of the Lord." And he said, "These are the signs that will follow them. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover." Now, notice what the last command from Jesus was to his disciples. He commanded them to go on the offensive. He knew where they lived. They weren't in heaven yet. They were in a place in which warfare was necessary, where there was an enemy out there that was trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus gave them an offensive word, not one that hurt their feelings, but one that told them what he wanted them to do. He told them to go. He said, "Go. Go out there. Pursue my will and my direction. Get after it." And then when he began to give them this offensive word, he began to talk to them about pursuers that were going to be running with them as they pursued the inheritance of God. And he called these pursuers signs. Everybody say signs. 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 And he said these signs would run along and be your fellow pursuers as you go after what God has for you. Well, what does he mean when he's talking about signs? Is he talking about you're going to run with a sandwich board on you? I mean, what is it? You know, what is he talking about? Well, let's look and see what he's talking about. The definition of the word signs here, the Greek word is simeon. And here's what it means. Signs are one of, it can be a three different connotations here. It means the official written notice that announced the final verdict of a court. Final verdict. Final word. The judgment has been decided and the final word has been given. Signs are the signature or the seal that are applied to a document to guarantee its authenticity. A guarantee of authenticity. And finally, a sign that marked key locations in a city or that pointed to places and key things that the disciples needed to know. Now, Jesus is sending his disciples, and that includes you, on a mission to recover it all. All that's been stolen, all that has been delayed. And accompanying your quest are signs that prove that this quest is of God and that God is fighting along with you in this endeavor, and that he is with you. God has not sent you out there alone. There are normal things that are going to take place in your pursuit that you can expect to see happen as you embrace the inheritance of God. God is empowering you to defeat the enemy. God is authenticating you as a believer in Him. God is making you a sign to a lost world so that they can see that He is real and you are His ambassador. These signs are following you. Well, what does it mean, Pastor Parker? Where are they? I can't see them around me. If you said they're following me, what does it mean that they're following me? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look at what the word follow means. The word follow is the Greek word parakaleuthio, which is comprised of two Greek words, para and akaleuthio. Para means alongside, as to be near or in close proximity. Akaleuthio means to follow, to go somewhere with a person, to accompany him on a trip. To accompany you on your pursuit. To stay alongside of you as you are chasing after the inheritance of God. Now together, when you put this all together, it means to tirelessly accompany someone. To constantly be at the side of an individual. How often is it at the side? Constantly. To always be in close proximity with a person. This word has such a strong connotation that later in the Word of God, it became synonymous with the idea and the concept of discipleship. A disciple is never to leave their master. They follow their master everywhere they go. And what is being said here is these pursuers will follow you wherever you go. What pursuers? What signs? What is God talking about? He said, this is what will pursue along with you on your quest. In my name, they will cast out devils. Does that mean anything to anyone? God's saying, I'm empowering you to defeat anything that you face in the demonic realm. He said, certainly when you go out there and you start going after things that are important to God, at some point in time, you will meet demonic opposition. Now, I'm not the kind of guy that believes when you have a flat tire that the enemy poked a knife in your tire. I'm not the kind of guy who believes if your computer crashes, you know, that there's a computer crashing demon that the devil has released against you. I'm not necessarily believe that all the time. Some of that stuff just happens in the world. Sometimes there are attacks against us. But if you're going to follow God and you're going to get serious about the Lord, then I'm going to tell you there is going to be a time you're going to run into demonic activity. You will. Things that are demonically inspired and controlled. And the Lord has said that when that happens, that you can be confident that right there with you in your pursuit is the power to drive him out of the land that he has tried to inhabit. To drive him off of the house that he has taken possession of. What other signs are going to pursue with you? You will speak in new tongues. God says, I'm going to give you a new level of intercession. I'm going to give you a new infusion of strength. I'm going to edify you directly from heaven. You're not going to need always, because you may not be in the place where you always have somebody standing next to you to say, you can do this. Hang with it. Stay in there. You might be out on the street somewhere and you're by yourself and all of a sudden you face a great challenge and the Lord says, I'm going to give you a way for me to edify you directly. You can speak in new tongues and begin to pray in the Spirit. And the Lord says, I'll build you up in your most holy faith. And through that, I will release revelation to you about what you need to do. And he said, why, when you're standing there and the enemy is saying to you, you're going to go down, you'll hear me saying, you're mine. I have called you to be my own. You are a warrior. I'm going to tell you guys something. I was sitting in my little chair, my escape chair that I have in my house. And I was sitting there the other day, and all of these thoughts began to flood my mind about things that just brought me down. Potential failures that could happen. That could happen. Anybody ever had that issue happen to you? And all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me and he said, this is what he said. He spoke to me, nobody else. He spoke to me. And he said, those are not the thoughts of a king. Those are not the thoughts of a king. And he said, a king doesn't worry about such things as that. And boy, when he said that to me, man, I just let that go. And I said, Lord, forgive me for entertaining that type of thought. God said, I'm going to encourage you myself. What did David do? He got encouragement, not from the dudes that are with him, but directly from who? From God himself. God encouraged him directly. The Bible also says that another pursuer that will go with you is you'll take up serpents. And that doesn't mean we're going to start having boxes down here with rattlers in it. I am not going to do that, okay? I'm not touching any rattlers, all right, to prove anything. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That scripture comes in there, into play, right there. I don't like snakes. We're not going to have any snakes. I never forget one summer, my son had to bring home animals to keep for the summer for his science class. You know, instead of, he could have brought birds, he could have brought frogs, he could have brought guinea pigs, he brought snakes. And we had to feed them. And I got to feed them. I'd get the salad tongs. I didn't tell Rhonda I used the salad tongs. But I got the salad tongs and I'd heat those mice up so they'd be nice and warm in the microwave. Yeah, they have these frozen mice, you have to feed them. And I'd heat them up in the microwave. And she said, are you be sure you use the same cup every time, brother, for that. And then when this is done, that's going in the trash. But I'd heat those things up in the microwave, and then, man, I'd get the salad tongs, and I'd grab that thing by the tail, and I'd stick it down in that cage, and I'd shake it like it was alive, like it was trying to get away from me. And, boy, that snake's eyes, you know how a snake's got some bad eyes. That eyes would get real big. And they'd back up a little bit, and then, pow! Man, they'd have that thing grabbed so quick, and they'd be right back where they were. And the female was really mean, man. The male would get something. She'd attack him. She'd say, that's mine. Yeah, she'd bite him on the neck. We're not having any of that stuff. I don't like that. I'll never forget, we had to clean out the cage one time. And Rhonda's standing there. She's got one by one tail and one by the other in the house. And she's holding them up like this while I'm cleaning the cage. You know, like this. And they're hanging down. And I said, no. The Lord cursed those things. But anyway, we're not going to do that. But Jesus said, I have given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Satan's called the great serpent. But the Bible says you have the authority and the power to tread upon him. He's underneath your feet. You know, that's a sign. That's a statement of victory. Casting him out is one thing. Casting him out is a possession activity. You cast him out of something that you want. That belongs to God. That's where you cast him out and then you go in and take possession of it. Him being underneath your feet, that's a sign of total subjection. And a sign of defeat. You cast him out of what belongs to God and then you get your feet on the devil's neck. Oh, yes, Pastor Parker, that's good. I love it. Hallelujah. The Bible says another pursuer that will be going with you is you will not be harmed by the world's poison. You may get yourself in situations and circumstances where you have to eat something that's not too good. I remember when we went to Africa, Candace Glover, the winner of American Idol, and all everybody in here, we all, how many of you went to Africa with us last time? Chandra, they took us to a church way out in the country and fed us a lunch after church one time. Actually, the church wasn't in the country. I'm getting two situations mixed up. But it was a service, and then they took us to lunch afterward. And I'm going to tell you, I looked at that lunch and I thought, There were unidentifiable objects, UFOs, in that lunch. And I could, and you know, I had enough knowledge of meat to be able to tell what some of them were. And they're not from parts of the animal I eat normally. You understand what I'm saying? But I looked at that and I said, Lord, you had brought us here. Your Bible says, your word says to eat what's placed before us as gracious guests of a host. And I said, Lord, I remember you said that wherever you sent us, we can eat anything and it's not going to harm us. In the name of Jesus. And so we ate that and washed it down with plenty of bottled Coke. But let me tell you, it was, God said that wherever you go, I'm going to protect you. This is a sign of supernatural protection. You've got a pursuer of protection with you. Does that mean anything to anybody? Actually, I'm going to be honest with you. Until the day that your walk is finished here on the earth, you are invincible. If you're walking in the Holy Ghost, Satan came against Jesus many times to try to have him arrested or taken before the time. And the Bible says he couldn't do it because his time had not yet come. All right? You got that same power around you. And then the Bible says your last pursuers, they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Ooh, I like that one. We're going to be able to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. All right? Praise God, God is good. So, wherever you go, you got to realize you're not alone. When God says go out there and take this back, and you start looking around you and you start looking at what you can see in the natural, see, that's a big mistake we make as kingdom people. We start doing what Gehazi, Elisha's servant, did. We start looking in the natural and saying, boy, we got a lot of things against us here. And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes that he can see, because there's more for us than there are against us. You're going to have to be able to know those pursuers are with you and embrace them and let them do their job. So let's see. Joseph, come on up here for a second. Stand there with me. I'm pursuing in my inheritance that God has told me to go after. Joseph, this is my fellow pursuer here. This is the power to cast out devils right here. All right? Rhonda, come on up here and stand with me. This is my fellow pursuer on this inheritance. This is the ability to speak in new tongues, because, boy, when I'm with her, she makes me speak in some languages. Hallelujah. The ability to speak in new tongues. All right? Let's see. Ross, come on up here and stand here with me, Ross. Ross, you know what he is? Ross is the power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Hallelujah. Pastor Roy, come on up here, because this one fits you real well. Pastor Roy, this is the power to eat any deadly thing and it'll not harm you. All right, and Steve, come up here. This is the power to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So everywhere you go, you are not going alone. God calls individuals. Individuals are a part of his church. Each one of us has a plan that's woven together with all the others to complete God's grand design. But when God calls you and you begin to look out and you begin to see all the obstacles against you, well, this can't happen and that can't happen, and the enemy keeps throwing up this roadblock, and man, this has happened, and boy, it's just been a series of disappointments, and it seems like every time we make a move, there's a roadblock, there's a counter. Is God really with us? And I think that was the question that was being asked in Ziklag. Is God really with this thing? By the men. And David, he believed God was. He really did. But he got along with the Lord and he said, all I am is a shepherd. All you've ever trained me to be is a shepherd and a warrior. And he said, I have shepherded these men the best I know how. I have shepherded them the best I know how. Not perfectly, but the best I know how. And he said, is this a warrior's call? Is this time for a warrior? And the Lord said, yes, it is. He said, my direction for you is to pursue. And he said, my promise to you is if you will do that, you will overtake and you will recover it all. And I'm going to tell you, there are things that young man right here on this front row with the white hair, there are things that he and you and many others, and you and many others have prayed for down through the years when God was moving mightily and it looked like we were on the offensive, and all of a sudden flesh or something stepped in and it caused, it looked like the devil countered it and stopped it. God said it didn't stop it. It didn't stop it. God said it's actually all working together in the divine plan I had. And he said, and it's all saved up. And he said, if you will pursue, you will overtake, and you will recover it all. All of it. In the name of Jesus. So whenever you think you're alone, when you walk into a hospital room to pray for somebody and you feel like you're all alone and tubes are in people and things are blinking and nurses are all around and diagnoses are being talked about, you remember that this guy's with you. And you get ready to pray and you say, I'm not pursuing alone. So I got the power to see, pray for the sick and see them recover with me. And you let him do his job. And when you get in that shack there where the food doesn't look too good, are they serving you monkey head stew? Or you drink something and all of a sudden somebody says, there's death in the pot. You know what I mean? Then you remember that this guy's with you. You got supernatural divine protection with you. And you trust him to do his job. And when you get discouraged and you're out there all alone and you don't know what to do and you need revelation and your hope is fading, then you call on this one and you let it do his job. You start praying in the Spirit and you say, Lord, encourage me. Encourage me in the Lord. Encourage me and give me revelation. And man, when you are out there and you see something that belongs to the kingdom of God and God says, that's mine. And I want you to take it. Take it back from the enemy. And you say, boy, that looks like a mighty stronghold we're going to be storming. Then you remember you got this guy with you. The guy, the power to cast out demons, to drive them out of the place that they have taken over that belongs to God. And you let him do his job. And then, when all of that's done and you stand victorious on the other side, don't let the enemy slip back into a place where he can take more ground. You call on this guy, you remember he's with him, and you said, I'm going to tread on him and put him underneath my feet, and he will not rise up to destroy future generations in my family or in the family of the church.
Amen.
We've got that underneath our feet forever. That one's dealt with in the name of Jesus. Amen? You think you can run if you know all these people are with you? Whenever the enemy starts talking to you and saying you're all by yourself, you think you can picture them with you? Their pursuers, these signs shall follow those that believe. Thank you guys so very much. I tell you, I started to run around the building and make them run with me, but say, so let's pursue. But I thought I'd give them a break this morning. Some of them looked a little tired today. But anyway, for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about this, and we're going to look at each individual pursuer that's going with us. This was an overview this morning and an introduction. Next week, we're going to be talking about the power to cast out devils, and we're going to be talking about that specifically, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so very much for your word to us, Lord God. Father, I'm tired of being the type of people that takes direction about what's going to happen by where I'm sitting. Curtis, it's a word for you. It's a word from the Lord for you. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Have the heart of David. How many of you say in here, man or woman, say, this is a word for me? I know it is. I know it's a word from God. If it's not a word for you right now, it's a future word. Okay, it's coming, and you better embrace it because you're going to need it. You're going to need it soon and very soon because we're on a pursuit. And when we're pursuing, we're going to face enemies along the way. If you say, well, Pastor, that's just not what I want. All I want is peace. Well, you're living in a world where there is no peace, unfortunately. The enemy has declared war, all right? He is a defeated foe, but a persistent and angry one. And I'm not afraid of him, but I know he will not stop until the Lord locks him away. And until that time, I have to embrace where I'm at. And I can't live in some kind of magical la-la land thinking I actually live somewhere else. Try to create an alternative reality for me. But Father, I'm not going to move to the sidelines and try to find a place of escape. I want to stay in the game. I want to be a part of this. You have called me and created me for this hour. Lord, I love, Lord, what Mordecai said to Esther. And he said, who knows if you have been created and even breathed for such a time as this. And Lord, I know that we're all fitly framed for this time, right now, this hour. So God, help us to embrace our destiny. Help us to embrace our fellow pursuers. Help us to believe in you. And God, we're going to see great victories along the way. Oh God, we're going to overtake. I don't care how big of a head start he has. We're going to overtake. And Father, your words, we're going to recover it all. All of it. Moses said he saw those boxcars full of inheritance that God was wanting to pour out on his people. And I know that was a confirming word to me. You had spoken that same word. And Lord, we're banging on those boxes. And Lord God, we want that to be open. We're cutting through the bars. And Lord, we're going in. In the name of Jesus.